Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Definitely a lot of encouragement in Connor Bedard's return to the ice at the NHL level. Picking up an assist in his first game back, but unfortunately not enough as the Blackhawks see their losing skid now reach 8 straight games. A 4-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins here at the United Center as the Hawks still without a win after the All-Star break. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight as we recap this 4-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. One more game on this homestand. The Hawks hosting the Ottawa Senators Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock for one of those best day evers. Best days ever? I don't know, proper terminology, but it is a fun environment here at the UC for those day weekend games. The Hawks have one lone road game on Monday against the Carolina Hurricanes, and then they're back here at the UC for 5 straight for more fun and more action here at the United Center. Let's head on upstairs and bring in Troy Murray. He's been on the call with John Weideman tonight as the Hawks fall to the Penguins by 3 goals. And Troy, we were talking about a good start for this team in the first period. They did find themselves down by a couple of goals, generated a few more chances in the second period, and we think a lot of that had to do with Connor Bedard kind of getting back to what he had done so much at the beginning of this year before getting injured. At the very least, it looks like it was the right decision to have him come back tonight because he definitely was showing the Connor Bedard that we saw earlier this year.
And no fear in what he was doing right through the middle of the ice, delivered a couple hits in this game. So I thought that he was, you know, really effective. He was -2, and yeah, you know, he's got to clean up his defensive game. But boy, when he gets the puck, there's just so much excitement to watch for him, and he just makes plays. And, you know, if you're a guy like Kurashev and you get the opportunity, or you're Foligno, make sure that you're getting yourself in a position where Bedard can find you. He'll find those open spots. So drive to the net, find those soft areas, and Bedard's going to set you up there. And I thought that he had a really good game. The one thing offensively, I wanted him to see him shoot that puck the last time that he was coming down the ice, tried to force one across to Kurashev there, an unselfish play, but at the same time, that's the one that he's got to shoot. He's got one of the best shots in the NHL. He can't pass that up.
I do feel like Kurashev, though, also picked up his game a little bit with Bedard back. There's definitely some chemistry between those two.
Well, I've liked the way Kurashev has played. I think he's been their, you know, best forward here as of late. Him and Jason Dickinson have been really good, and I think that when you look at Kurashev, he likes to wheel around the ice, and he talked about it in his first period interview on TV with Darren Pang when I had the conversation with Panger, and you know, and he says I got to make sure that coming back in the zone that I'm thinking winger, not thinking center. He says I got myself caught out of position a couple times in that first period, you know, just heading back and playing the center position rather than the wing position. And you know, if you're playing out there with Connor Bedard, you got to keep an eye on it because Bedard's going to wander a little bit in the defensive zone, and he's got to figure that out the way that he needs to play. But I've really liked the way that Kurashev has played, and there is some good chemistry, as John was talking about it, with Nick Foligno. That line has lots of possibilities. Kurashev's a good 200-foot player. Foligno is that physical element, can grind it along the boards, and Connor Bedard brings that flair. And we saw it tonight, and that was a nice combination between him and Kurashev to score the only goal that the Hawks had.
Arvid Soderblom also took the ice for the first time in a while. We haven't seen him since the All-Star break. But I don't know, Troy, I wasn't thrilled with the second goal he allowed. But other than that, I thought he made some good stops. I think sometimes the defense didn't do him too many favors. But, you know, I know a lot of people are quick to criticize Arvid Soderblom, but I don't think a lot was on him tonight.
No, I agree with you. I think that he still, you know, I to me, and again, I'm not a goaltender expert, but he seems to lose his net a little bit. And the play in the third period by Pettersson to bounce it off the backboards, you know, he's got to play that a little bit better. He just had his paddle down there and really didn't do anything and just kind of had it redirect right out into the middle of the ice area. And now you're scrambling around. It's in the feet. You're facing the wrong way to begin with. You turn around. You're trying to find it. And Raquel was right there to move a little pass over to Crosby. And, you know, that was a tap-in goal. But, you know, those are the type of plays I think he's just got to get more comfortable with. There were some uncomfortable exchanges that he had with his defenseman behind the net. Rebound control was, you know, there were some rebounds there that didn't come back to haunt him, but he's got to eliminate those. But I thought when the game was on the line, when it was 2-0 and there were mistakes right off the bat that gave Pittsburgh those opportunities, I thought he really kind of settled in and kept his team in this game for a long time.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And but you bring up a good point. It's a lot of those issues that we were talking about earlier on this year with him that kind of stood out tonight. Sidney Crosby, it was very kind of blown away by the stat that John had at the end of the broadcast saying that he only had one goal here at the United Center before tonight. But, you know, I interviewed Emily Kaplan earlier this year on Blackhawks Live, and she was saying one of the most impressive things about Sidney Crosby is he still wants to get better. He still tries to get better. Everything he does is to improve his game and just improve everything out there on the ice. And I think tonight you saw a full display of that. I mean, he still is the guy that kind of wowed the league when he first came into it. And you can tell he's very eager to try to get this team back into the playoffs again.
Yeah, he's a winner through and through. And when you have those competitive juices and you want to win, like a Kane, like a Taves, when you know, they just wanted to get better. Patrick Kane, I loved what he said. And Sidney Crosby, I don't know him personally. You know, I've talked to him as a media guy, but I don't really know him. But when you listen to Patrick Kane, he knew that he needed to get better, whether it was working on a shot, whether it was working on his skating to get quicker, to get faster. He always wanted to get better. And that's what drives the great players in every sport. They want to be the best. They want to continue their growth regardless of their age, I should say. And Crosby at 36 years of age, I mean, 19th season in the NHL, and he just keeps getting better and better. I mean, he is the gold standard of the way that the game needs to be played, the way that it is off the ice, how you can be an ambassador, how you train. Nothing gets past Sidney Crosby, and I just love watching him play.
Well, Troy, unfortunately, not a victory tonight. One more chance before this homestand comes to an end. But, again, a turn up from this team after the first period. Even though it was a solid opening 20 minutes, I feel like this team responded well with a good start. Probably something that was definitely on their minds heading into this one tonight.
They had to get off to a better start than what they've had here in the last little while. One shot in the game against Vancouver, one shot I think against Minnesota it was 3 games ago. You just can't have those type of performances and expect to win. So they did come out. They were a lot better in the first period, even though, you know, they scored, Pittsburgh did 15 seconds into this game, which was tough, kind of took some life out of the building here, because, you know, everybody gets ramped up when Jim Cornelison comes out and does the anthem, and 15 seconds in, all of a sudden you're like, oh man, you know, what a bummer, what a downer. But I thought that the team played well, and I thought there was a lot of positives. And again, I think just having Connor Bedard on the bench there, and then the ability to put him out in different situations, I thought the power play looked really smooth with him, very dangerous when he got the puck. So there's lots of good things moving forward here that you can build on.
Well, Troy, I'm sorry, I lied. I'm not going to let you off the hook just yet. A guest popped into the booth and had to talk to the great Troy Murray, so we're gonna grant him that wish.
Troy, I missed you.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but nice to talk to you. No, I'm just kidding. And hey, by the way,
Troy,
happy birthday tomorrow, Mr. Dan.
It's almost. It's Saturday, actually.
It's Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Oh, so we'll get a chance to say happy birthday to Darren Pang.
Yeah. We'll meet. Thank you, though, Troy. I appreciate that, buddy. I was just up with Dirk Graham up there, and we actually tried to call Eddie Belfour in between the second and third period to say hello.
Just for the heck of it?
Yeah, just for the heck of it. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I was the other thing about it, and I actually just looking at some highlights on the postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago, that how many times did you notice, too, with how well Connor played, but how many times he was a little reluctant to shoot the puck, and then he went right to the bench on Troy and looked right at the iPad. You could feel what he was feeling, and then what he was saying to his line mates. And as he gets more comfortable and more up to speed too, and the confidence to fire the puck, he probably did he shy away from maybe two or three in your opinion?
Yeah, and we were actually talking about it, and you know, the one play that he passed to Kurashev, not many guys can saucer that pass right onto the tape. Nice finish by Kurashev. He could have easily taken the shot in that situation. It worked out because the pass was perfect, and you know, you score the goal. But if that pass isn't perfect or it gets blocked, you go, man, he should have shot that puck. And then later on, he tried to force one in the third period across the crease area when he got around, and that's one where he's got to shoot that puck. He's one of the best shooters in the NHL, and he's only 18 years of age. He's got to take those opportunities and be a little bit more selfish. But I think that just the impact of having him in this game was huge for everybody involved.
You know what the other thing, Troy, is that's really impressive is obviously you're competitive. Everybody's competitive. You grow up, you're playing the game, you want to win. But how he doesn't go away in a game. You know, I mean, how many guys would maybe show some body language that was a little, you know, droop the shoulders a little bit, and after 15 seconds in, it's a goal against. Tries to make a pass over to the far D, gets picked off, it goes all the way, it's in the net. But yet, he turns around, and just when you think maybe, you know, he's going to kind of go away lightly in the night,
he's just eager
no
to get it right.
Chance does he go away. He never goes away.
No,
and that's really impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that he's been around greatness for a long time. And, you know, these BioSteel camps and everything that he's doing, he's got Crosby, there's, you know, McKinnon, you've got McDavid. He's learning what it's all about, but he's kind of self-driven the same way as a guy like Crosby. And we actually were talking about, before you came on the air, Joe and I were about, you know, Crosby and how he wants to get better, and he just keeps getting... You know, when he's at 36 years of age, what can I work on to be better? Do I need to be lighter, to be faster? You know, whatever it is, these great players do it. And Bedard has the same makeup. I mean, he's going to be great. He's not going to quit. He's going to compete every time he's out on the ice. So I agree with you 100%. I mean, he's wired to be that type of player, like a Sidney Crosby. And at 18 years of age, it's pretty impressive. He went right through. There was no fear in his game early in the first period. I think he went right through the middle. It was second period, I should say.
Yep, got tripped up, actually. It was a missed call.
Yeah, right, 100%. Graves should have been called on a penalty, but he took it right through the middle of the ice, so there was no fear, no hesitation, which was one thing that I was looking for in this game, and he just didn't show that at all.
Yeah, you said he's wired. Not anymore.
Yeah,
well, he never was.
He never was. They were bands. They were rubber bands.
He's elastic too. He's elastic. Does that work when you say he's wired that way? He's elastic that way. I don't know.
It's just great to have him back, isn't it, Troy?
There was so much energy, and I know that you were upstairs, not downstairs today, but I'm sure that you could just kind of sense the energy that when he's out on the ice, people are watching him.
People
are looking at him, and I think that's so important for the fans here to have that type of player that they can kind of wrap their brain around it and watch him when he's out there on the ice, because he's a special talent.
Yeah, nice seeing Kurashev, too. As a centerman, and you were, to move to the wing after playing, 14 or 15 games in a row, and then move to the wing. Even Kurashev said after the first period in an interview with me, Troy, that he was not in the right spot. It's an adjustment. Boy, did they adjust for the final 40. That's great regrouping. They obviously got to the locker room, Troy, and got together and discussed where they were and where they weren't and what they've got to do to be better. And they certainly were.
Yeah, and that's something that John brought up right after the broadcast, you know, talking about the chemistry between Foligno, Kurashev, and Bedard. Mm-hmm. They were playing as a line before Connor got hurt, so now you look at it. And it's tough to go back. And I was watching the interview, and you and I had the conversation, and I brought it up that you had asked him that, and he said he was a little bit off in his positioning. He got caught thinking, you know, okay, I'm in center, but now where am I supposed to be, because I'm supposed to be on the wing. I think in that first period there was a little bit of confusion, maybe something as far as the confusion that contributed to the second goal that Pittsburgh had. That was kind of a bad play all around, and there's a little bit maybe miscommunication or two guys in the same area, Bedard and Kurashev, how they were defending that play. But I thought as the game wore on, they really had some good chemistry. They had some good motion in all areas of the ice, and I'm looking forward to that line playing together for a while.
But I do think that is
also another example of how well that Filip Kurashev has grown this year. The fact that he's able to adjust, just kind of flip that switch like he was able to in the second period. And just to put a bow on the Bedard-Crosby conversation, because we were talking earlier how Sidney Crosby still wants to get better in this league, yep. even though it's his 19th year here in the NHL. Connor Bedard has often said how Crosby was his favorite player growing up. And it's not so much about what he's done on the ice, but off the ice and what type of person he is. And you are already seeing those types of traits with Bedard. It's pretty cool to witness.
Yeah, one thing for sure, Troy, that Sidney Crosby doesn't have to work on, and that's the backhander or the deflections. I mean,
wow.
Those are special, aren't they? With that short blade, no curve, a short stick, relatively short. So there's probably not a lot of flex on it like what Connor Bedard has with a longer stick and a 68 or a 70 flex.
I thought it was 70, yeah.
And then, it's so impressed with, Sidney. And hey, I'll tell you this, before the game, I went a little text with our good buddy Tony Granato, and he said, if you see Sid, he said, give him a hug for me. So I'm down in the hallway, Troy, and you'll love this. Sidney's coming this way. He stops to say hello, and I said, Sid, Tony Granato said to give you a hug, for me to give you a hug. And so he put his arms out, and I didn't really go over there. And he said, well, where is it? And I had to walk.
Security jumped in the middle.
15 yards, and I had to give him a big hug, and it was for Tony G. And so anyway, I didn't mean to give him some magic, two-goal performance and his 30th goal of the year, yeah, kind of stuff,
gave
Troy.
Secret stuff.
But anyway, for our buddy Tony G and how yeah. well-respected Sidney is and Tony is.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I thought you were going to say he put his arms out there and you went right underneath them.
Five hole?
He's just not that big. That he's 5'11". Come on now, Muzz. I love you, pal. All right, you guys go ahead. You guys wrap this thing up. Put a bow on it. Okay?
I was going to say... Panger, any more comments for Troy? Troy, any more comments for Panger? Or...
No. I mean, Sidney's good on the back end. Troy was great on the
backhand. But I was going to say on that play, like a little toe drag at the blue line, you know, to keep everybody onside there, and then continue in the middle of the ice. He went across the middle of the ice, and then he was outside of the hash marks, and he beat Soderblom cleanly with that backhand. And we were talking about he's probably got the best backhand in the NHL. That shot came in there, and it beat him cleanly to the blocker side, off the post and out. But, you know, Sidney Crosby is one of these guys, and you could see that early on in this game. Obviously, he scores 15 seconds in, but he was engaged. I mean, this is the captain of the team. This is a team that's fighting to get back in the playoffs, and they were led by Sidney in this game tonight, no doubt about that.
Yeah, without Jake Guentzel.
We'll finish on this. One other note. Sidney Crosby now has the most goals in the first 30 seconds of a game in NHL history.
What?
So just another... I think in his career,
wow.
most goals between the 0 to 30-second mark to begin an NHL game.
Great research there, Joe. Yeah,
that's really
great,
good, Joe.
Yeah,
I think you're the first star of the game, Joe.
And first of all, I know you're going to say it wasn't you, so it came from somebody else.
Of course, yeah. All I do is got Twitter loaded up, and these things are just thrown in my face.
How do you know it's true, then?
That's true. I don't. We'll have to reach out to Jordan Clark and figure things out. All right. I'll tweet Jordan Clark. You fellas get going. Thank you very much for the insight.
I'm going to have all my buddies tweet stuff out that is not true just so you can read them.
Perfect. Well, it's the internet, so it's got to be true, right?
Yeah, why is John is saying me? Like, I'm not a prankster. I would never do that.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know. And you're never sarcastic at all.
All right, Pinocchio.
All right, fellas. Thank you very much for the insight.
You know what you need to do, Joe, down there?
What's that?
Is put a lock on that door.
I have, but he keeps finding a way in. I don't know if it's...
He crawls under the crack of the door.
All right, we got to get to a break.
He doesn't bend
anymore.
Down.
Troy.
Panger, Troy.
Love you, Panger. Love you.
All right. Love you too, pal. See you, buddy.
That is Troy Murray. That is Darren Pang. And this is the Blackhawks Post Game Show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. Looks like Connor Bedard already chatted with the media. Our own Jack Heinrich is getting some sound. Luke Richardson chatting as well. Hawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-1 here tonight from the United Center. We'll take your calls. We'll take your text too. 312-981-7200. Send us your thoughts. 312-981-7200. 100. More on this on the Blackhawks postgame show next, 720 WGN. Filip Kurashev with the only goal for the Hawks tonight in a 4-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Connor Bedard getting the primary assist on it. He's back, and he's back to leading all rookies with now 34 points as he picked up his 19th assist of the year on that goal. Honestly, I was thinking about giving Filip Kurashev our player with the most heart, but I think we still have to give it to Connor Bedard. His first game back after breaking his jaw, and definitely made an impact, especially starting in the second period. Our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. A reporter, Jack Heinrich, is back. He's sending the sound of Connor Bedard and Luke Richardson back to the WGN studios, so we'll have that for you shortly. But I do want to go to the phone and text lines. Again, 312-981-7200. We'll start with the phone lines, and we'll start with Jim in Forest Park that wants to talk about Louis Crevier. Go ahead, Jim. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the post-game and your analysis after the game. It really is entertaining, and learn a few things sometimes just listening to your responses. So I just want to comment about Crevier. I think he had his best game of the year playing on a pair with
It was Megna.
Tenorti's not the best defenseman.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Tenorti, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I just don't think Tenorti, he's just a fill-in guy. He's nice to have as an extra guy, but he's not somebody you ideally want on your top six defenseman long-term. But Crevier might still need some time, but he had a good game tonight. And I think he's the guy, kind of guy that it could be a well-balanced defenseman and stand out in a third pair. I don't know if it's in his DNA to play a little more aggressive, but I would like to see him use a stick more like Vlasic does. So what's your thoughts on Crevier's future with the Blackhawks?
All right. Hey, Jim, thank you very much, and thank you for the kind words. I appreciate you reading the script to a T, and all your compliments are very much appreciative. It's kind of funny because yesterday we had somebody calling in and complaining about Louis Crevier's game. And frankly, I've been, for the most part, pleased with his game. It's interesting you bring up how he was paired with Tenorti. I agree with you. I mean, Tenorti's here for a reason. He provides that veteran depth to the defense, and I don't think the Hawks were expecting to rely on so many of their young defensemen heading into this year. Even Kevin Korchinski, I know he's been up here the entire time, but I don't think by the end of last season they were expecting Kevin Korchinski to A, make the team, and B, to just stick with the team the entire time. It's been fun to see Alex Vlasic and Louis Crevier paired up on the same line a lot this year because they're both huge guys, they're both young guys, and they've got a lot of chemistry and experience playing with each other in Rockford. But Alex Vlasic has taken so many strides this year and is paired up with Seth Jones, and I actually got a text somebody else thinking the other way about Alex Vlasic. I'll get to that in a moment. But back to your question, basically, I asked Luke Richardson yesterday at practice what he's thought about Crevier's game. And it was basically that. He's liked what he's seen for the most part, but there's definitely still some rookie mistakes. I think the texter last game, was frustrated with what he did with the puck. And again, I'm not ready to jump on criticism for Louis Crevier for what he does with the puck just now in his, 19th game in the NHL. I think it's more important to see what he's doing defensively. And I agree. He's using his body. He's learning how to use his body more in the NHL, and he's getting confident with it and putting himself in the right spots. I agree with you, Jim, that he could probably use his stick to maybe break up plays a little bit more, but I also think Alex Vlasic just makes it look so easy because he's often in the right spot and he's often doing the right things. I wrote it down, too. He had a great play in the... It was towards the end of the second period, a good poke check when Crosby was just driving in and generating a chance. And, you know, Vlasic was, okay, maybe he was a little bit behind, so maybe that's where you can catch the knock on him. But he's still able to just use his length, stretch out, and poke check it just a little bit to throw off the chance by Sidney Crosby in that instance. Obviously, Crosby still had a great game, two goals in this one in a 4-1 loss for the Hawks against the Pittsburgh Penguins. A few more texts, and then we're going to get to Connor Bedard, whose sound we do have. Again, it's Devin from Palos Hills in the 708 area code. Disappointed with Alex Vlasic's game today. Felt he was out of position on a couple of goals, especially for his hockey IQ. Felt off today. Crosby was lurking in the weeds for both of his goals, and Vlasic fell victim twice. Okay, yeah, so kind of what I'm talking about. I will say, though, and also, Devin, I saw some criticism of Alex Vlasic's game tonight, too, on Twitter, but let's also remember that this kid is basically playing his rookie year in the NHL. He's continuing to play top-pairing minutes with Seth Jones. I know the Hawks are where they are in the standings, but he has taken some excellent strides. I feel like this is a good thing that we're picking apart Alex Vlasic's game based on what he's done this year. From the 608 area code, it's Dexter in Bolingbrook. Geez, Jeremy Colliton wasn't this bad, or was he? Question mark. Is there a difference? Question mark. What's your answer? Hype the 18-year-old? Question mark. Dexter, it's year two of a rebuild, and if you want to compare Jeremy Colliton to Luke Richardson, then you also have to compare the rosters, which are vastly different. Jeremy Colliton was given a roster with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat and Marc-Andre Fleury and a handful of other, Jake McCabe. Seth Jones had just come on over for Colliton's last year. Two totally different examples. That was a team that wasn't really being utilized in the proper way, and I think that's why he was exited after just 9 games, again in his third year. But, I mean, remember, Jeremy Colliton was used to replace Joel Quenneville. That didn't look like the right decision. This is year 2 of a rebuild. This is a roster that relies heavily on rookies, and you saw the difference that a guy like Connor Bedard made, yes, the 18-year-old, because that's what he's capable of. And one more text before we go to some sound from Bedard from the 630 area code. It's Steve in California. Beware of Bubble Bedzy as he has returned. Despite the loss, you can tell Bedard's energy and the way he reads the ice charges up the rest of the team and makes up for some quality chances in front of the net. Loving the no-fear mentality from the ice tonight, and we'll get after it against Ottawa on Saturday. I agree with you. I thought that this team definitely accelerated a little bit more in the second period. It wasn't a bad start, but you saw more cohesion in their game, more just better offensive movement in the second period when Bedard started playing more to his game. Let's hear from the 18-year-old, number 98, back in the lineup tonight. Here's what he had to say to the media.
Yeah, I don't know. I was pretty excited to get going, and energy-wise felt good. And yeah, it's good to be back for sure.
Seemed like I said, the second period, you really kind of find yourself again a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, I think I felt decent the first, just kind of a couple plays that, you know, it can happen and resulted in goals, but I thought our line in general kind of took a step in the second and third and created a good amount.
Had you been targeting tonight all along to try to come back, or did it come about quickly after the doctor yesterday?
I mean, like personally targeting, like, yeah, probably earlier, but like obviously you got to be safe and smart, and you know, we got good, you know, people working, and you know, trust them, and you know, they told me I was ready to go today, so I was excited.
How frustrating is it to be able to skate for so long? It's been like you've been on the ice for weeks now and not be able to play.
Yeah, I think overall it's a positive thing, because you know, I've been skating for whatever 4 weeks now, and you know, felt confident coming in, like, you know, because of that, I think. And but also you kind of feel normal and it's like you're on the sideline, so that sucks. But I mean, I was fortunate to be able to skate and work out kind of the whole time, so you know, I don't want to look at that as a negative.
How much you missed it, kind of?
I don't know, I mean, it's kind of just what I do all the time, so you know, I want to play games, and I mean, it's frustrating watching, and you know, you can't be out there with the guys and try to help them win and go to battle with them. So, you know, it's what I love to do, and you know, it's all I really want. So, it's just nice to be back for sure.
When you had that conversation with Kyle Davidson, he asked you to be truthful about your status. Did you feel like you had to convince him that you were ready?
That's kind of personal stuff. So, you know, just kind of the conversation about how I felt, and you know, I think they were really good with that, and just letting me make the decision, and not make the decision. Obviously, that was safe from everyone, but you know, I felt like it wasn't one-sided at all. It was kind of, you know, both of us having more of a conversation about it, and so, you know, I got a good relationship with him and obviously the coaching staff, so, you know, I was obviously grateful they let me go tonight.
Did you have any jitters before the game started or anything like that?
Not really, to be honest. I thought I might, maybe in the morning a little bit, but it was just so much excitement. I was pretty antsy all day, just kind of running around all the time and stuff like a kid. But, no, I was just excited to get back. And, yeah, no, I felt good going in confident. So.
How much did you feel kind of it looked like the chemistry, especially with you and Philip, was getting there again, starting in the second period? Did you guys feel that out there?
Yeah, it felt good. I think our line in those last two periods, you know, can't believe I missed that one pass from him. That was a sick dish. Nice save, I guess, but I got to kind of make a better shot. But, yeah, I mean, I thought we created a good amount. And, you know, it's fun to play with him. He's a stud, and he's just getting better every game. Even watching him, I think, and maybe he didn't have as many points kind of in a little stretch there, but he was creating so much, and his shots were crazy. So, you know, it's going in for, or he's getting a lot right now, so it's fun to watch him and play with him.
You got to spend some time with Crosby at All-Star, even during the skills competition. What did two guys like you talk about?
Yeah, I don't know, hockey, I guess, and nothing crazy, really. I mean, you know, getting to be with guys like that and everyone else is a lot of fun, especially for me coming in the league and kind of watching these guys growing up. So, you know, I don't want to annoy them too much, but, you know, it's fun to be with those guys and compete against them.
Did he give you any advice?
I mean, I've answered this a lot of times, but I think just enjoy it and goes by fast, obviously. So, I mean, yeah, I think now it's fun to. Obviously, I'm a fan of a lot of players in the league, but you're going against them, and you want to be competing with them. So, you know, just getting to do that and go against the best is always really good for you.
How painful or just uncomfortable has it been with your jaw? Or is there anything you've had to get used to just with it now?
It's been fine, honestly. My face was a little chubby for a bit there, but. I mean, after the surgery, I was lucky. It was a couple of days of kind of feeling it, but I felt pretty good. And yeah, so I was lucky with that. With obviously, like we were talking earlier, the skating and everything. So not too bad, really. It was weird for sure, but overall, it wasn't bad.
What did happen on the 5th? Did you just not see Brendan Smith?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird, like a. Not weird, it was a normal play, just making an entry, and then the puck kind of bounced and went forward, and I mean, I saw him, but I thought I'd finish the play and kick it out, and then it wasn't really like a hard, obviously, hit, it was clean, and he just kind of got me in a spot where it happened to break my jaw, but overall, I mean, maybe bail out on the play, but in the moment, you just want to kind of make the play, and obviously, unfortunately, that was a result, so, yeah.
Did you have any trepidation out there about taking a hit, anything like that?
I have no clue what that word means.
concern about, you know.
No, I mean, I'm not going to go in there scared. You know, if it happens, I don't know, you just don't think about it, really. You know, I'm confident in myself and kind of my abilities, but, no, you can't be nervous going out there. I think be smart, for sure. I'm not a big guy, and you know, smaller than pretty much everyone. So, got to have your head up and be ready. If a lot of these guys catch me, then it's not going to be good. So, just be smart.
How are you able to manage your diet and keep your energy up and your weight there with the job?
I had my mom here, so I was pretty lucky that way. If not, it would have been tough. But, yeah, she was great. And Dee Dee is our, like, meals person. She was awesome. So, I got a lot of help from everyone with that, kind of smoothies and soup, whatever, for a little bit. But I mean, after a couple weeks, I was able to kind of eat more stuff, so it wasn't too bad.
Typically, I don't like to play that much audio, but I think it's warranted tonight with Connor Bedard returning, and this was the first time we got to chat with him since his injury. And it comes after the game. I think that was a whole nother thing. All those practices, all those morning skates he was a part of, you know, we'd love to just get like an update on his progress and how he's feeling and how eager he wants to get back out there. And this all just kind of came together so surprisingly this afternoon that it just caught everyone by surprise. So obviously a lot of questions for Connor Bedard and a lot of good answers too. I do want to break it all down, but we got to get to another break. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. We'll react to that Bedard sound. We also got to get to Luke Richardson as well after the Hawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-1 here tonight from the United Center. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Here's Carter down the left wing. Hawk zone. Deeks and fires. That's turned out of there by Soderblom. Loose puck in front. Carlson fires, and Soderblom got in front of that with a scrambling save.
That is tonight's Save of the Game, sponsored by ComEd Financial Assistance Programs. Our own John Weideman on the call. Arvid Soderblom in net tonight for the Hawks. Didn't have a great game. 22 saves in this one. Actually, 23 saves. We kind of broke down his game a little bit with Troy Murray earlier on in the postgame show. And Arvid Soderblom has received a lot of criticism this year, and a good amount of it is deserved. I think the first goal is... How is the Blackhawks defense allowing Sidney Crosby to get right to the front of the net? That's something that Troy had brought up. The second goal, you don't love the opportunity for Riley Smith to get right in front of him, but that's possibly a play that Soderblom can stop. And as Troy was breaking down his game earlier, it was the same amount of criticisms, the same kind of criticisms, I guess I should say. It's rebound control, little scrambly in net. This was his first game back since the All-Star break, so maybe that's part of it. But again, it's the same inconsistencies kind of continuing with his game. But I do think the Hawks have kind of figured things out a little bit better by using Peter Mrazek for longer periods of time, allowed themselves to kind of ride on Mrazek's hot hand. That has kind of complemented his game, and then Soderblom also has more time to work on a few things. But all in all, plenty of blame to go around in tonight's 4-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you missed it, we heard a lot from Connor Bedard. He talked about a lot of things. Again, this was the first time he was able to chat with the media since his injury. He said at the beginning of it, he personally was targeting an earlier date than even tonight, even though tonight caught everyone by surprise. We were all circling in pencil next week, possibly next Wednesday against the Philadelphia Flyers. But he did appear in tonight's game, obviously. Should be available on Saturday against the Ottawa Senators, so it looks like he will play in that game on Monday against the Carolina Hurricanes, which originally Luke didn't think that that was possible. But when you look at it, and again, after he's cleared by the doctors, after the front office and the coaching staff feel that, okay, he is ready to return, it does make some more sense. Pittsburgh is a team fighting for the playoffs, but they're not maybe the most physical team out there in the NHL. So if that's his first game back, you kind of work him back into the NHL style of play that way. You got Ottawa here at home on Saturday, and then he's got two games under his belt before having to play on the road against the Carolina Hurricanes. Probably the most exciting thing about it all, he's available to play on the 25th against the Detroit Red Wings. Chris Chelios' number retirement night, Patrick Kane returning for the first time since being traded. A quick reminder, if you are coming to that game, again, Sunday the 25th against the Red Wings, Chris Chelios' night, the ceremony to retire Chelios' number is going to be at 3:10. The Hawks are opening the doors at 1 o'clock, and they're encouraging fans to be in their seats by 3. So again, if you're making your way in, just remember, the ceremony is at 3:10, even though it's a 5 o'clock puck drop, and the Hawks are encouraging you to be in your seats by 3 o'clock. Back to Connor Bedard. Dealing with a broken jaw injury, we were taking a look at a lot of other people that have dealt with broken jaws. Just earlier this year, Boone Jenner took 6 weeks of the Columbus Blue Jackets to come back from a broken jaw injury. So that's why we were basically looking at that 6 weeks timeline. Connor Bedard is 18 years old. I don't know a ton about the actual injury, but what I do know is that his jaw was not wired shut. He was just using kind of rubber bands to keep his mouth taut, I guess, tight. So he wasn't on a strict liquid diet. So weight loss wasn't a factor throughout all of this. And Bedard clearly was back out on the ice as quickly as he could possibly be. He was trying to be involved as much as possible without non-contact drills until earlier this morning when there was that was the only way that Luke Richardson and the coaching staff was going to allow him to play after going through some contact drills. I also just love his honesty. Mark Lazarus of The Athletic asked, was there any trepidation coming into tonight's game? And just immediately he goes, I have no idea what that word means. I mean, nowadays, it's just funny when you hear a lot of people, and especially kids, just wanting to say the right thing, wanting to feel the need to know it all and have all the right answers. And he's just reacting there. He's being a human, and he just doesn't know that word. And then all of a sudden, Mark's got to pull out the dictionary in his brain to explain it as best as possible. But basically, it came down to the answer being no. And I think we saw that in his game tonight, too. He wasn't afraid to be physical. We saw him put a hood on, a hit on Rust. We saw him go in on two Pittsburgh Penguins. It was a one-on-two. He got thrown down to the ground by Ryan Graves on a missed tripping call that wasn't called by the officials. But again, you didn't see kind of a scared play from Connor Bedard tonight, which I think is another great sign. Number one, he was able to get back to his offensive prowess in the second period. Number two, he didn't look scared. And hopefully that just continues in his game moving forward. I do want to get to Luke Richardson, but I do got to get to another break. Hawks fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-1 tonight at the United Center. We'll hear from the head coach and then take a look around the league when we come back. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Here's a 2-on-1 back the other way. Giroux gets a shot away. Scores! Giroux busts the shadow bid, uses Tkachuk as the decoy, and buries it.
Dean Brown of TSN 1200 AM. It's our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Ottawa Senators come to the United Center on Saturday. 2 o'clock puck drop, a 1:30 FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show on the best day ever at the United Center. A fun afternoon Saturday game. The Ottawa Senators currently 22-25-2. Actually, they did suffer a loss to the Anaheim Ducks earlier tonight, so they're now 22-26-2. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. We do have sound from the head coach, Luke Richardson. Let's get to it.
Yeah, I think the line kind of found each other, especially by the second period. They really had lots of opportunities. You know, always loved him to shoot the puck a little more, but he got unlucky a couple times with a broken stick at the wrong time. It's just those you never know when those sticks are going to break, unfortunately. But no, I thought he skated well, and I thought he had some pep in his stride. He looked raring to go. Obviously, they had a tough first shift. There was just a quick goal against. They got the fortunate of them there, but I thought as the game went on, they looked really good, and he looked confident in the power play. He looked confident out there, just like he always is, and made some really good plays. Unfortunately, we almost scored in the second period in the power play on the back door near the end, but we had some good sustained pressure that he was out for most of it.
It looked like Kirishev had a little extra juice to him.
Yeah, he was good. I think I think it was the Ranger game too. He was really, really skating, and even the first shift, the third period, we know we wanted to put pressure on him, and he was the first one in there and try and set the tone. So he's been. I'm glad he scored the goal. You know, that was good. He's had some really nice assists lately. Playing well, but it was great to get that goal.
Like the Pens were able to get open in the slot and around the net a bit, both Crosby goals, but even a few other
kind of like backdoorish, and that we got to be aware of that. We got stuck on the wrong side of the net, and we got to know that that's his spot. It's been there for years, and the things happen fast. I thought they moved the puck well in the ozone that created some difficulties for us, but they're so good and they're tenacious along the walls. That's where they're the best, I think. In our zone, winning battles along the walls, they came out with the puck a few too many times, especially in the first period, and then on that goal in the third period. But they do it well in their zone too. I think it's when we can get it off the wall, go low to high or east west, and get the net front battles against their defenses where I thought we had some better chances, but we didn't do it enough.
I feel like they missed the tripping call on Bedard.
No, I think he still had the puck. I don't know if it was. I think they just took his body and he went down. He still had the puck. If he had the puck, if he laid it in behind earlier, that's like interference. But that I don't think that was a call. And that it wasn't the hardest call at the end either on him. you know, I mean, they gave us an opportunity then 6-on-4, but we just couldn't get it done.
We'll wrap up with some closing thoughts from the text line, 773 area code. Solid effort. Sutterbloom was a very solid effort. Loved the effort by Bedard and everyone. And one last point from Devin from Palos Hills, who was talking about Vlasic's game. I should clarify, in no way am I harping Vlasic. In fact, this was a great experience for him to be playing against Crosby all night. Just baptism by fire. I think that's the point for a lot of these guys. It's baptism by fire for a good chunk of this Blackhawks roster. So sometimes it is difficult to kind of criticize their game when it's a lot of rookies going against some of the best players in the NHL, but that's what happens when you're in the NHL. Blackhawks hockey's been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all our help from the WGN studios. Our producer was Patrick Hennessy tonight. Did a nice job going solo. And our captain, the engineer, Brett Jackson. Here at the United Center, our reporter was Jack Heinrich. Our Hall of Fame engineer was Paul Zerang. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. And another big thanks to Darren Pang for stopping by in the postgame show. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Hawks fall to the Penguins 4-1. Next game is Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock.